Hey everyone, Paul the Geeks here. So the episode you're about to hear is actually the second recording of this show. And while you will notice that the sound quality is quite bad, this is actually better than the first time we recorded it. We've made some changes to our equipment lately and it's just not working out for us, so rest assured we're going to go back to our old setup. But for now, unfortunately, this is the best I've got, so you're going to listen to this the way it is. And I did what I could to clean it up. Sorry about it, all I can do is promise you that it'll be better next time. Hope you enjoy, Geeks. Welcome to Geeks of the North, a Hobby Gaming podcast with Bill Purveyors. This week we're here talking to Dan and 80% G about TempleCon. We're doing our wrap-up. This is our second time trying to do this episode, so we're going to hopefully not screw it up. So why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host Paul Folio, here with my co-host Antoine Bergeron. Hello, Antoine.
Hello, Paul.
How are you this evening?
Good. I have a cold, so my sultry French tones might be even worse than before.
Oh, more sultry. I don't know if we can handle it.
Yeah.
Maybe we can balance it out with a little bit of Dan the Mooseman.
Oh, yeah.
With a little Barry White action. Yeah, so we're here with Dan and Guillaume, also known as 80% G.
Hello, people.
He's so quiet. Because we went to TempleCon together, so we're going to be talking about that on the show. And it was Dan and G's first time there. So we'll get their impressions. We'll go kind of over day, you know, what we did day by day. Before that, we're going to do our standard format, so we're going to do hobby time. And then we've got...
events, news.
Yeah, all that stuff. So the hobby time, I always forget which comes first, whether it's events or news.
It's always events.
I know, it's always events, and I always forget which one comes first, so I suck. It's okay. I can't be perfect. And then we'll go to our main topic.
You're far from it.
Well, I know. This is actually our second time we tried recording this show. The first time we recorded 2.5 hours worth, and Antoine's voice sounded like he was recording from the next room, due to a screw-up on my part. Technical issues. Saying that, we're going to go right into hobby time. And I guess I'll start the charge. So I've had a pretty productive few weeks of hobby now. I know it's been like 3 weeks since the last time we published a show. So I've done one full box of archers for my high elf army that I'm taking with Depticon. And actually what I did, I've started this new habit where I set myself time goals and I try to paint the whole unit within that time. So I set myself a goal of to see what I could do in 4 hours for 16 archers. I didn't make it in 4 hours. It actually took me 5 to finish all 16. But they came out pretty nice. I think they came out pretty nice anyway.
Yes, they did.
For the time spent. I mean, they're not going to win any Golden Demons, but they're one of the ugliest models in GW's lineup, so they don't really deserve better than they got. Guillaume was just sitting here smiling and nodding.
No, I saw myself in that. Very impressed. Little archers.
By the pinchum.
Yeah.
Not the scope.
So I said Guillaume and then Dan answers. So it's because Dan's actually looking at his phone, not really paying attention to what we're doing, because he's lost up
here. That's because I'm following the notes while you're looking for them.
No, it's lying.
I don't believe it because I know you, Dan.
It's like pictures of cats or something.
He's like going through his Facebook feed, liking all the cat videos. Yeah, so I finished those 16 archers. And then I started a unit of Illyrian Reavers. So I started basically in the first 5, and then I realized I needed 6. I have a second unit of 5, but they were in a box that someone else had. So I'm picking them up tonight. So I've got 18 days to Adepticon, so I have 18 days, I guess 17 days to finish these models. Which may work out well with the fact that Antoine just challenged me to a paint challenge. So maybe I'll do those, maybe I'll do something else, I'll have to decide. But I think it fits the criteria, so maybe I can kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Aside from that, I finished my Warpwolf Alpha.
That's good.
So, and he looked really nice for, he was about a 3-hour jobby, 2.5, 3 hours. And he looks really nice, I think. Guillaume saw him, and Antoine said, actually, Dan saw him too. I was playing with him at TempleCon. And he got to kill several of Guillaume's little Benones. We'll talk about that later.
And get killed by biggies.
Yeah, that also happened, because I forgot how to play the damn game.
That's why we played.
Yeah,
so you remember.
So you could own me horribly. Shame me.
But for the time you put on it, it came out really
well. Yeah, the paint job was great. The playstyle was horrible.
Oh. we're in the paint section.
Yeah, and aside from that, I also cleaned and prepped and magnetized the wings on two Ultra Forge Greater War Demons. So,
I actually have a question. Who did you fix the bubble issue?
I didn't fix the bubble issue.
No, it's out of picture.
Are you going to roll with it?
Well, so going back a few episodes, I talked about how I'd gotten one, and Dan, being the store owner of Gamer's Vault, where I bought it, he went to bat for me, talked to his distributor, got another one shipped to me. That one also has bubbles, but it's got less bubbles than the original one does. So I kind of sat there and looked at it and said, well, either I'm going to fill in like 300 bubbles per model, or I'm just going to hope primer fills some of it and no one notices. And so long as I don't do a wash all over the model, I think I can obscure most of it. If I do a wash, it's all going to show up. It's annoying. So I don't know. We'll see. I'll prime it. I'll start painting it. I'll see what it looks like. Worst case, I'll strip it and I'll liquid green stuff the whole model everywhere.
Definitely.
Yeah, I just didn't want to do it. Anyway.
Did you crank the mold sit for the orders?
No.
Did you crank them for me?
No, I filed it and I tried to shave it and make it work. Again, I'll see. I've got it down to a small lip, so we'll leave it at that. We'll see how that goes. And that's it for my hobby. On to you, Antoine.
So, since last burning, I finished painting Baron Celsius von Fahrenheit.
Still love that name.
So, I'm pretty happy with the job. It was a quick but good paint job, so the mold came out fine.
What game system is that in?
That's not from a game system. It's Rafa produced the model. R-A-F-M. I'm not sure how you should pronounce the abbreviation.
Let's call it Rafa.
Yeah. So they ran a steampunk contest, cosplay contest, and the winner was, winner's persona was transformed into a 28mm sculpt.
Nice.
So a friend of mine won the contest. That's why I bought the model, just because someone I know. So it was interesting as a project. So I finally did it, painted it, published it on my website, and shared it with him. So it's pretty cool.
Very cool.
And the story, I also added the picture of the him in the costume to compare with the final models and stuff like that. So it's interesting. If anyone maybe wants to know, it's on my zanion.net blog.
Cool.
After that, I continue working on the secret project, which is now done!
Woo-hoo.
So,
a year in the making, folks.
Yeah, a year. Well, it's not a year of work, but a year of time. So I can say more now. The secret project is an infinity display for my friend Yeo. And I gave it to him yesterday, so pictures are incoming. I'll add them maybe when the podcast releases. I might add them online, but if not, they'll be. I will share them on the Facebook and Twitter from the book. So that's done, and since then I started cleaning and prepping an Endless Fantasy Tactics model, the Mandragora, and also Phrased It Well. That was a free add-on from the Kickstarter, the second Kickstarter. So that's all I did on B1. Guys, Young, Dan,
I make the jump. So before TempoCon, I built a Skull Mammoth for my friend Ivan. And, well, I do own a mountain king, but I did not build it myself. And it was my first time building a Gargantuan from Privateer Press. And the thing was so full of flash, it was insane. With the amount of flash I collected from building that model, I could have made like two new models, like War Beast or something. Insane. But the thing is gorgeous. After that, at TempoCon, I tried to paint Jarl's Skull for my Troll Blood. That ended unsuccessfully. And after TempoCon, which was actually today, because until then I was burned out of painting and hobbying, I painted Gatorman for Odds. A whole bunch of them. Because Troll, I won't say anything else. That's good.
I'm curious now.
No, I was going to mention stuff from TempoCon. We'll get that for later on.
Okay. All right, so that's all your hobby?
Yeah, pretty much.
Dan, how about you? Any hobby?
Can we consider doing our taxes? No, I've been bogged down in paperwork.
That real life stuff getting in the way?
Real life stuff. It actually does get in the way. I've been just prepping some stuff. Wild West Exodus. I got some replacement parts for Walks Looking. So try to get that going. But man, the glue points for a wrist on those models is like ridiculous, and I don't think I'll ever be able to pin that. So
it'll have to be one of those. Oh, is it like confrontation style, or it's the thickness of a pin?
Yeah, I bought them here. Predator press.
Yeah, the super super fine,
tiny one, which I drilled the relics fight here for Paul. The two barbers.
Yeah.
They're tiny wings. My breaker pin vise is bigger than the zone I can pin in.
Right.
But they have a tiny one.
Yeah, I probably have to drill with my fingers. The drill bits won't even fit in my vise. Yeah, and apart from that, no, not much hobbying on my end.
Okay, so I guess I'll go back to talk about my games. So leading up to TumbleCon, I wanted to do a bit of a warm-up because I hadn't played Mark II since Guillaume beat my bottom 2 years ago.
No, I think Leonard also...
Oh, yeah, that's right, tabled Leonard. I might have had this weird game against Leonard.
Oh, sorry, Leonard, I didn't know the outcome of the game.
He killed a Widowmaker.
I should have...
And everything else died for him. But that was a fluke, because... that was not how my game went with Antoine, I can tell you that. So, much like when I played against you, I had forgotten a bunch of the basic mechanics of the game. Not rules mechanics, but how things work. Like, the fact that you can target models out of squads, and you should not lead with unit attachments that grant abilities to your unit, because they'll get eaten alive, and then your unit will be back to being, you know, the horrible unit that it was originally before you added the 3-point unit attachment. So yeah, that was, there was a lot of stupid mistakes at the beginning. Near the end, I started playing better, but it was just too late. There was just nothing. And then I really overcommitted myself at one point and paid the price horribly, and got raffle stomped quite badly.
Yeah, instead of playing yo-yo, you should have done with the chaos this time. You went for it, and stayed there, and then died.
I paid the price. And aside from that, I went to TumbleCon. We'll talk about that afterwards. I came back from TumbleCon, and my friend Sarah contacted me. She's like, yeah, I know you were trying to play games with Ben, who's her fiancé, who's a friend of mine from college, and we canceled on, we said we couldn't do it, or he said he couldn't do it because we're going away this weekend. We canceled our plans, and it's his birthday. So I want to arrange for you to come by secretly and play miniatures with him. So I was like, okay, that's a cool idea. Does Ben have terrain? Don't think so. Okay. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to invite a couple other friends, Mike and Dave, over too. I'm like, all right. So I guess I'm bringing tables, terrain, everything. So I borrowed some Zuzzy Mats from Antoine. I know there's a bunch of terrain that I still packed up from Chaos Red Zik that Antoine and the King had borrowed. I took it all over to Ben's at like 10 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. Show up at his door, and he answered the door, and he's like, talking to me in front of Weado. Oh, it's you. Hey, what are you doing here? Like, I'm just here to say hi and wish you a happy birthday. He's like, oh, cool, thanks. Like, yeah, I've got my wagon, load stuff in the house. Like, what? Like, start bringing tables and stuff. So it was pretty fun. So we did breakfast and War Machine. And I managed to, we did demo. And like all good demoers, they're playing War Machines. These guys just picked up War Machine stuff at Christmas. Very new to the game, never played a game before. I decided to bring Hordes, just to make it massively confusing.
Gonna help them so much.
Yeah, and then I cheated on top of it all. So I won. But then I went home and I'm like, something doesn't sound right. So I talked to Antoine about it. He's like, yeah, that doesn't work that way, Paul. I'm like, yeah, that seemed broken to me. So I guess that explains it. Then sure enough, the next morning at like 9 a.m. or 8:30 in the morning, I had a text from Ben. I wasn't looking up. It's not that I didn't believe you and stuff, but yeah. What spell exactly were you using to do what you did? I'm like, yeah, I already know I cheated. Shut up.
So
So it seems like you have like this mini con kit that you go to places with, whether it's Keslizik or a TempleCon. You're ready to go with tables and terrain and.
Well, if you think back then, when the 40K Saturday started here.
Oh, yes,
remember,
this is your terrain.
I would bring like 6 tables worth of terrain to the store every Saturday for people to use because the store didn't have enough terrain at the time.
Yep.
So, yeah, no, I've got a pretty good collection of stuff at the house.
Paul's Minicons.
Well, yeah, yeah. Much to my wife's dismay. So, yeah, that was basically all I did for gaming. Antoine, how about you?
I had a game of Relics with Yelp. We got a pretty big game, 360 points, something around that. Was his Noen versus my Britannon. I got stumped, but it was quick, fun, and bloody like Felix is always is. So I really recommend that game. I say that every podcast, so it's nothing new. And aside from that, I played the War Machine game with you. So my PKs versus your Kator circles.
I still hurt.
Making bacon.
That's why I use bacon. For those with that, it works.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
No
what?
And those guys are big. Look at the size of those members.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that would have been horribly, horribly, horribly painful. So I appreciate the fact that you took it easy on me and played the suboptimal bacon list.
Wasn't that suboptimal? It was new stuff. Also, I played Elga, which I only played once before. So
she was cool.
Yeah. I really liked it.
Really cool feat.
Yeah. It's the old Borka feat from Mark 1. So it's like back to my starting days.
Is his feet no longer like that?
No, absolutely not. It's pretty garbage. Now.
Going back to my games for a second, one of the things the new players all thought were that feats completely broke the game. Because that group, right, they picked up starter boxes. So they're playing Sorsha, Kreos, and Denegra. They're like, those are three of the biggest, baddest, like...
Make one of them play Gunbjorn, and after that, tell me feats are game
breaking. Or even things like Vlad's feet. Right? His feet's okay, double the jack movement. It's great for positioning and stuff, but it's not game breaking.
Absolutely.
You know? So actually.
Gunbjorn is no knife down and cover.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
actually, it's amazing. I played it in Thunderdome and.
Well, we'll talk about Thunderdome afterwards.
It's irrelevant.
But yeah, so actually, Mike asked me this week, he's like, yeah, can you recommend another Menoth caster that doesn't have a feat that's like tape? Yeah, exactly. Like, game breaking, pretty much any other cast will be fine.
Or just switch opponent. A couple of armies are immune to knockdown or stuff like that, so it wouldn't be that bad.
Wait, but they're just starting, right? So they want to play in their group, which I totally understand. And those feats, like, if you're playing just caster kill, those feats are the setup feats, right? I mean, Sorsha with feet windrush, pound someone into the dirt, it's a good setup. And Kreos and knockdown, flaming everything, lobbing into someone while they're knocked down. All those, yeah, exactly. And Denegra doesn't have something that's that bad, but she starts stacking those debuffs. Well, it's not the same type of thing as, you know, you're immobilized and you're auto hit and.
Well, actually, it's even worse.
Minus 3 to everything, so you cannot charge, you cannot do anything.
-2.
But it stacks with other debuffs, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yes, but the real problem with Denegra is in the new rules of War Machine, in the Mach 2, knockdown is better than a -2 speed. Like, it's less aggravating than a -2
speed. Yeah, absolutely.
Because Denegra's feat is gonna give -2 for a round, so you get -2 on that round, on her turn, when she gets to destroy you as badly as if you were knocked down, because -2 is a bad
And then
kill.
On your turn, you're still -2. Yeah, yeah.
And it's also -2 armor, so not only do they hit you almost as easily as if you were knocked down, but they also cause more damage than if you were simply knocked down. So it's by far way worse feat than
the bad thing is, you could shake off knockdown if you survive the feat with your beast and caster.
Yeah, that's true.
You cannot shake off -2 speed. So everything is slow and cannot charge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty.
No, I know. It's a brutal feat. I mean, she's just a mean caster.
But like you say, it's more a long term feat than pop and drop feat. But even then, -2 to roll defense armor can.
I hate facing Denegra. One of my buddies when I used to play Mark 1 used to always use Denegra, and I hated it.
I'm gonna say thank you, Predator Press, for putting it in the starter box. Because a lot of people start with starter casters, and after that they never touch them ever again. Because they're like, oh, it's a starter caster. Clearly they're less efficient, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank
But it's grace. It's true. Their Aldor stuff is so good. Yeah. Aldor Caster are so strong.
Yes, but, like, Denigra is definitely one of the top.
She's a really good one.
So I think we sidetracked your hobby that you're gaming.
Oh, that's, that was it. I played Relics and War Machine with you.
Okay. So the Relics, the Relics game was the big game with you, right?
Yep, that's the one you cheated again.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, it's important to mention that he cheated.
After that, we found out that he was playing 40, 50 points or something.
Oh, so like only 10% more than his opponent.
Yeah.
But he won, so that's what really counts, right? When it all costs
you. I don't think that 40 more points would have saved.
Come on, we're razzing Yom here. Yom's going to listen to this, and he's going to be like, damn
or
you,
Britannens versus Nuems always go that way. So I don't know if it's a bad matchup, or if my army is just so bad, or I'm so bad at this game.
I doubt you're that bad at the game. I haven't really seen a game that you're horrible at for miniatures, so...
I have Orc Nars too, so I just have less on it, but I might try the Orc Nars next game to see if I can do better.
Whenever Antoine's around, we always use him as our rules reference. Oh, by the way, Antoine!
I know, and it's like, I played that game 1 to 6 years ago, I remember all the rules, sure. It's amazing, I read a book last week, I don't remember any of the rules this week, so it's crazy.
It's the only thing I remember that good, to be honest. Ask me what I eat yesterday. I don't
know. Yom, what about you for games?
So, game-wise...
I called you Yom.
Normally I called... SMG,
please. Yeah. Normally I called Yom a cheater. I've given his title to someone else.
Well, you've also been calling him Guillaume, so people are going to be confused now. There's, like, so many Guillaumes laying around that, you know?
Sorry, 80% G. How about you?
Exactly. So, game-wise, before Templeton, I played a game versus Clément to warm up for War Machine. And it started great till the point where I opened my eyes to a board where I only had my Warlock, a Solo, and a Beast, and he had pretty much a good 75% left of his army. So I was like, oh, wow, I'm not winning this, am I? So then I tried something that's specific to the caster I'm playing in Trollblood. It's Epic Grisal, and people really underestimate how vicious she is. And also, I did roll crazily good on the dice roll, but she's really strong by herself. And with Felcals, I managed to cast her kill from afar. Iris 1 from Clément. Oh, and just a side note, Iris 1 versus Grisal is really not a fun matchup for anyone because it's inhospitable ground on top of inhospitable ground, so everybody has roughed on everyone. So it was that for games before TempoCon. I won't mention games at TempoCon. And then after TempoCon, I played a game of Dust versus Daniel Meyer. And it was an amazing game, super bloody, super quick. And I was doing things like never before and then proceeded to lose. Out of nowhere. Well, not out of nowhere, but I messed up a little and lost it when I was doing way better than my usual ratio for games. And then we, still with Daniel Meyer, we decided to play a game using the Warhammer 40k license properly. And that was good. And by that I mean Conquest, Warhammer Conquest. It's the LCG by Fantasy Flight, and it is really, really good.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about it. Mm-hmm. I think, wasn't Skullbros Awesome talking about that recently?
Yes, it did.
Right.
It's amazing. If I wasn't playing Netrunner, I would grab Warhammer Conquest. It's that good.
Wow, okay. Big endorsement from 80% G who hates...
Yeah, the 40k license.
Yeah. Well, it's not you don't hate the license, you hate GW, so I guess...
Yeah, pretty
it's
much.
A Fantasy Flight product, you're allowed to like it.
But I'm also... I've seen the license used and overused to the point where...
You're over it?
Yeah. Kind of...
Until he starts walking?
Yeah, well, and I actually played the Ox in Conquest and managed to teach a lesson.
All right, Dan, what about you? Any games?
Yeah, actually, quite a few board games. As you can see, I need to be doing my taxes, but I always have time for a board game. Played the Shogun, the strategy board game. A little bit of Risk, a little bit of worker placement, a little bit of, not diplomacy, but the concept of supporting one territory with another. Very cool. Enjoyed that. New game came out recently, Roll for the Galaxy. It's a take on Race for the Galaxy.
Yeah, someone was talking about that recently, one of the shows I listened to. They were saying a lot of good things about it.
Yeah, I mean, they took the idea of Race and they integrated a whole dice building system with it. So it works really well. So if you play
it, streamlines the game quite a bit.
Yeah, that too, yeah. There was one thing, like, that I was playing with Brad, one of our avid board gamers here, and,
understatement.
And, one thing that we both agreed we didn't like about, Race for the Galaxy is that the cards that you have in your hand, you don't know when you want to use them, and you have to use them as a currency. While the currency in Roll for the Galaxy is the dice that you roll, so you don't have that needing to throw something away that you might use later concept. So that was pretty cool, actually. I really enjoyed that. Played a couple of games because it's pretty fast. Finally, I picked up Dead of Winter because my girlfriend is a total zombie fanatic. So I was like, hey, are you maybe a game I can play with my honey? And
I knew she was into horror films and stuff. I didn't realize she was like, yeah, the zombie fanatic in general. Okay.
And so tried that with some of the guys at the store. Recently, learning the rules while we played, and wow, what a really great game. It is in the top 20, and very much impressed.
Top 20 at Board Game
Board
Geek?
Board Game Geek, yeah, sorry.
Okay.
And,
just making sure.
So you have that Walking Dead feel in Canada, since it's you can, like, one of the types of wounds you can get is, like, a frostbite, because it is in a cold setting. Some of the heroes are actually like dogs, stunt dogs, and it's pretty funny. Like they take a nice twist. They actually have a maturity level in the events you can trigger, so you can actually play with a more mature audience if you want.
Okay,
or
interesting.
Less. And it's very cool game. Stuff dies very fast, but you're having a lot of fun, and you're trying to work together with a twist. There's a betrayer chest twist. So if you ever played something like Battlestar Galactica, where someone could be going against the game while you guys are all cooperating towards it, a little bit of that feel. So very, very cool. Really enjoyed it. And I can see why we're selling a lot of it and why so many people are playing. So that was me.
Awesome. All right.
Well, of course, besides Templecon.
Besides
you later.
Well, also, you neglected to mention our warm-up games before Temple.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
We played some Drop Zone Commander.
It was so late, that's why.
Yeah. Well, especially after you made me wait 3 hours that one night. But we won't get into that on the show.
So
I'm only burned a little bit about it.
So, yeah, we needed to prep for the tournament that we ran at the con. So we decided to do some little rules checking.
Some
and,
refreshers. Yeah, well, I'd never played the game, right? Yeah. I was going to this tournament and never played the game, so we
and,
did some.
It was very good for me because I was able to get back on track. It's been a while since I had played.
Fun
and,
game. Fun game. I really
yeah,
like it. Looking forward to playing some more of that soon.
And they just announced some interesting new heroes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, they also, I don't know if you saw this, but they've announced at Adepticon that if you bought a VIG ticket, which actually I've contacted Adepticon to try to see if I can upgrade mine, you get a free plastic starter.
Ooh.
Now, the VIG tickets, I didn't realize they're only, I thought they were going to be like Gen Con where it's like a $300 or $400 ticket. It's only a $50 difference. So it goes from $50 for the weekend to $100 for the weekend.
Makes it worth it right there.
And they're giving.
Carl sold out.
Yeah. So. You get the they're doing the starter box drop zone commander, and they're also doing a Wrath of Kings starter for free.
Oh,
you
wow.
get to pick, and you get to pick it. Plus, there's a bunch of discount coupons and stuff. So right there, I mean, you're more than made up your money. So I'm trying to say, I mean, they won't, I know, but I'm trying, right? Never
yeah.
hurts to ask. Anyway, so I guess that wraps up the hobby and gaming section. So we're gonna take a quick break, and then we'll come back and do upcoming events, and news, and all that fun stuff. So we'll be right back, geeks.
And we're back. Upcoming events.
All right. So at Gamers Vault this weekend, we have X-Wing Most Wanted Tournament. The Most Wanted Scum and Villainy faction for X-Wing miniatures just came out, and we will be giving one of the Scum and Villainy starters away on Saturday, September. On Saturday,
March
7th. It's a $10 entry fee, 5-4 members, and if you already have a Most Wanted starter, you can choose from one of the Wave 6 releases. So come one, come all.
Right after, on the following day, Sunday, we'll have War Machine Steam Rover, 50 points. Basic stuff. You can find all this on the Gamers Vault Facebook for more details.
Okay, next we have Kev'Morsal Mega 40k on March 28th. It's already full, but you can still try to see if there's a waiting list. It's a team event in Montreal. Four players, you bring your own table, the table is loaded in your points. It's really fun event. Same guys who run the
Fantasy Fest.
Fantasy Fest, which we add on episode 6 if you want to know a bit more about the group.
I totally love the name of that tournament. I think it should be translated for the English only speakers.
What, Kevin, what's that?
Yeah.
What's actually the name of the gaming group is Die You Bastards.
Oh, okay, there you go.
The event's called Mega 40k, I believe.
Yeah.
And the other one's the Fantasy Fest, yeah.
The group is called Kevin's.
Yeah. It's awesome. Classy. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it's more serious than the Fantasy Fest, but it's still casual, yeah. Like casual 40k, so bring your B game.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. No Tau'dar, please.
After that, we have War Machine Mini Team Tournament. So if you really, really enjoyed the team tournament from Cody Dick, like Dan, Daniel Meyer, and myself did, and you want to relive the experience, well, feel free to show up at Gamers Vault on March 29th to play in it. It's 50 points, 2 lists, if I recall. And
that's a format.
Yeah.
You have teams of 3 players with ranks, so captain will play against the opposing captain, Lupin against opposing Lupin, and Nasty Sergeant versus opposing Sergeant. You should normally put their player in player experience in order.
So rank them by experience?
Yeah, rank them by experience. So captains are the best player on the team and face up against the other best player. And it's a fun format that they're running with the same format to be used at Chaos Edict to be able to have it more than once a year.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're wondering why like Antoine knows more about the Star Event than I do, it's probably because he ran the team tournament at Chaos Edict.
And he's participated, I believe, at the TempleCon one, which is also the same format, is it not?
Yeah, I did that last year, not this year.
Just
year.
A quick note also, I forgot to mention it before as a subject to Antoine for the Crève-Montsalve tournament, but there's also the War Machine League starting on March 2nd, so probably started when this episode will be up, but will be still brand new and fresh. I strongly suggest everyone listening to this podcast to look on Predator Press website about this league, because it's more casual. And it's more fun. In this one, you have heroes, which are technically solos, and they gain XP as they as you play games, and then you unlock abilities for them.
Yeah, and you get to choose.
Yeah.
So I was listening to the Predator Press podcast, and you get to choose the abilities that you take, which makes it really neat, and also gives you an opportunity to do some conversion, right? So if you take a solo model, Iris or something, right, and you modify it, it's still their models, it's still usable in tournaments for them, but you can give it some character of your own, some personality of your own for the season.
And make some horrible solo finally amazing, like this Croc Hunter who gets trash or something like that, gets an extra dice on knockdown model. Perfect for the faction. I've been dreaming of this. You get on it.
There's some nice models out there, right?
Yep.
One more awesome thing about this new league is that they're integrating points if you play some Unleashed or some High Command. So they are actually bringing in some of their other War Machine Hordes themed games into the league.
Play out of the GW book, eh?
Yeah.
Buy more of our stuff and maybe we'll give you something for it.
There you go.
Or maybe not. You can have something intangible. Just buy more of our stuff.
Yeah, there's badges and stuff like that for the league.
I know. I'm just ragging. Oh, and it's my turn now. What am I talking about again? All right, it's the Canhammer Team Tournament. I knew what it was. I was doing a classy intro, man. Building suspense. You ruined it for me.
Yeah.
And so there's a Canhammer team tournament coming up April 18th and 19th. This is, of course, being run by Chris of Canhammer fame. So it's an ETC team-style event. And you can find out more info for that event at canhammerteamtournament.blogspot.ca.
And lastly, we have the VTGT. That's the fantasy tournament run by the Green Mountain Boys. Green Mountain Boys guy.
Orc style.
In Burlington, Vermont on July 18th and 19th. It's not exactly in Burlington. It's in a resort nearby. All information is available on the greenmountainboys.weebly.com, and there's a link to the GT information there. It's a fantasy singles grand tournament using the ETC comp rules.
Right.
So we'll have a link in the show notes for all these events.
I keep forgetting ETC comp is not the same as Swedish comp. I forget they have.
No, it's not the same thing.
It's a little harder. It's a little more restrictive, from what I recall. And that's it for upcoming events.
Yes, it is.
So let's move right on to news. So I'm gonna talk news first. And because Guillaume's not here, I'm gonna handle this for him. So the Dust Tactics Operation Babylon saga continues.
Yeah.
So this is turning into a nightmare for the poor people who backed that Kickstarter and for Dust Studios, right?
For Battlefront 2.
Well, yeah. I don't care so much about Battlefront, to be honest.
Well, actually, have you seen that Battlefront launched a Kickstarter of them?
When? I didn't see that.
Recently, for a new open fire box or something.
I just saw
that posted yesterday or the day before on the Dust group. Somebody saying, hey, look what they're doing with the money.
Yeah, well, I know that Dust Studios has launched legal action. And they've given up on mediation. Papers have been filed. It's going to go to court. Paulo's basically saying that all his contract agreed to is provide 3 free models. And everything else was to be paid for. And basically, Battlefront is saying, no, you need to build all these models for free and fill the pledges. So it's not going to go anywhere good for the consumers, which sucks. And it probably won't do anything great for the Dust game either.
Well, also, it's really bad for 2 reasons. One, it's building a lot of bad publicity for the game. So if a new player or someone interested was to go on a group, you would see a lot of negativity on the group.
Of course. It's bad for everyone, right?
So it's kind of killing the game for that, which is sad because, in my opinion, Dust Battlefield and Dust Tactics are some of the best of the size game system for like medium/large warfare. The very straightforward.
It's a fast and furious system. It plays well. I only played a couple games, but it's a nice game. It's unfortunate, but yeah, it's getting ugly. And that's kind of a warning to people, right? When you pledge in a Kickstarter, even reputable companies can have problems and things can go wrong. Other things, Shield Wolf Kickstarter, 10 days left. So probably 8 days by the time the podcast publishes. And that is a really, really interesting Kickstarter. They've got a lot of individual models and small units that are amazing sculpts, good for any fantasy system, I would say. They have some lion cavalry tonight. They have this weird, I think she's a necromancer. I shouldn't say weird. It's a really cool-looking necromancer model. They've got some nice dragons, some nice orc stuff. Worth checking out. I really, really quite like their sculpts. On top of that, Blood Rage, which, if I'm not mistaken, is a board game that's being published by Cool Mini, has released their new art and sculpts for the upcoming board game. And that's going on Kickstarter on March 2nd, so tomorrow, so a couple days before the podcast will air. And they have some amazing models, too. I was really, really surprised these were board game pieces. I thought it was a new miniature line from someone, and then I realized it was board game tokens, and I couldn't get over it. Because the detail level is outstanding.
Well, it's the Midway Studio.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Gear and Games and Guys.
Oh, I didn't catch that. It's the same people that did Sedition Wars.
Yeah.
That game had great sculpts. A lot of great
sculpts. Yes.
The final production.
Yeah, the game designer, if I remember correctly, is Eric Lack. So it should be solid on the rule side.
Yeah. So check that out, because that looked really cool. And my last bit of news, which isn't really news by the time this will air, because it will be almost a week old, is the new Bloodthirsters out from GW. And it's a kit that's getting a lot of mixed reviews from, well, from my friends, myself. Aesthetically, I like some of the design choices. Others I really, really dislike. Some of the posing, like, one of the bases is he's kind of floating on a pillar of fire, but it's really, really small. Like, the pillar of fire is tiny under this giant winged thing. It looks really weird. And I can't see that traveling well. You know, and people thought Nagash looked kind of unstable on those little spindly pieces of plastic. Looks, he's supported by like 10 pieces of spindly plastic. This Bloodthirst is supported by one.
It looks like a bit like the Morghast.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks a little bit like the Morghast.
For the proportion?
Yeah. You know, and it's, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's better than anything. It's better than the old metal model, right? I just painted one of those things. I know. It's better than that old metal model. But I don't like the way they kind of felt the need to put, like, Khorne and Chaos symbols on the wings.
On every panel of the wings.
Yeah, it's just weird.
And there's, like, holes in the wings, as if there was resin bubbles or something. No, I'm joking. There's actually holes in the wing, but it's not resin bubbles.
Yeah, no, that's...
It's plastic bubbles.
Talking back to my my poor Ultra Forge models. Yeah, so check it out. Tell us... What's your opinion? Do you like it? Is it hot or not?
Nah.
Okay, Antoine, what about you? What do you got from news picks?
Nah. Okay. Red Republic Games publish Arena Rex. Just released when we tried the first edition of this
of the show. Podcast. Yeah.
So they released a couple of weeks ago the first public stuff. So three new sculpts that weren't in the Kickstarter are released to the public. And the rest of the sculpts should be coming out soon because they started shipping or are almost ready to ship Wave 2. So after that, the game will be available to the public. And that game looks cool, so can't wait to try it. I know some local guys got stuff, so I want to try it. Next, Anima Tactics is sadly dead.
It's dead, Jim.
Yeah, Ninja Division officially discontinued the game. Cypher Studio discontinued the game. Ninja Division will continue to sell some of the existing stuff on their website, on Ninja Division website, but it's not, they won't be producing anything new anymore. We don't know what that means for Eldorado. They mentioned that they will continue to sell, but I think their press release is not unclear if it's not, no longer be sold to distribution anymore, just from them.
Yeah, I think Eldorado is going to be on its way out too. But, you know, let's face it, Cypher is fully invested in Ninja Division stuff now,
yeah.
And that's selling. Why split your focus on stuff that's not doing as well when you could, you know, really be driving? They're not cool mini, right?
Oh no.
So they can't be like, well, we've got Wrath of Kings and no one buys it. That's okay. We've got, Dark Age and no one buys it. That's okay too because we love it. And I'm not saying those are bad games. They're gorgeous models. But they have the cash flow. They can support these products that aren't really their main focus, or their main revenue stream, I should say.
Yeah, for sure.
They're certainly their main focus. Like, you go to any event, cool mini booth, they're filled with
Wrath of Kings. And was backed by a giant Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Anima Tactics isn't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Anima Tactics, in my opinion, has been mismanaged since...
Oh, for sure.
Since the launch.
Exactly.
How many years have we been waiting for the book 2?
Oh, well, actually, I actually stopped playing Anima Tactics before book 1 came out. That's how bad it was.
I almost bought into it.
Bad
it was. You used to have a guy that worked here that played Anima Tactics.
Well, I... That's what I did. And
before
Eric
you.
Also.
Before Eric.
Kantan?
Q?
Q, Eric. Yes.
Yes, he's the one also who watches.
Yeah, and he almost had me convinced.
It's a great game.
And I like the game, too.
But the models are gorgeous.
Yes.
I have a bunch of them with a painter, a local painter right now.
I would say, like, everything about that game was good, except marketing and production. And if you have a company whose marketing and production are not good, well, it's doomed.
Yeah, especially in this industry, right, where it's a small industry to begin with. So if you're not doing everything you can to make sure your product sells, it's just going to kill you.
It's sad to see it. And lastly, Ninja Division again announced that they are releasing Ninja All-Star on Kickstarter. So it was unclear until now, but now it's official. It should be running during March. But a lot of other Kickstarters started already, big ones in March. So I don't know if they will postpone it a bit or if it's going to launch this week.
Yeah, but cool Kickstarter not always does well in Kickstarter. So.
Yeah, but launching at the same time as Leverage and a bunch of other ones might be a bit hard for Ninja Division. They don't have cool mini sites. So
what is this exactly?
Ninja All-Star is a chibi ninja team versus team game.
Is it made by...
Soda Pop Miniature.
Oh, so okay.
It's Soda Pop, yeah.
Oh, that's freaking cool. Okay.
And
the sculpts, the 3D sculpts they have right now are amazing. The artwork is amazing too. They have a bunch of different clans, like the Ika and everything, and they all have concepts behind the weird clans, and you build teams, and the teams compete in the Moon Championship, something like that.
Okay.
And,
what's the entry
different
price?
Challenge.
What's the entry price? They just announced?
They announced that it's going to Kickstarter, but
oh,
it's not launched yet. It might be launched when we release the episode. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't suspect the entry-level price will be any different than any other game.
It will be like Super Dungeon Explorer, so 80 to 100. Like, Fire Emblem King,
this one I did not back.
Or Box was 100 bucks, but it was coming with all the, not upgrades, but treasure goals and free stuff. So it will probably be around the same price because there's a bunch of different skulls for it. And it's looking so good. So,
well,
I love that style. So.
Is it going to be late night good?
Wow, if you could just see the face he just made. I think he's hitting on you, Antoine.
No, it's not a reference to my sausage pizza with not that many.
They don't need faces.
Exactly.
You know, at the speed they travel, you can't see their details anyway, right? It's just all a big motion blur. It's anime, right? So they just sculpted it like they're traveling at high speed. Just take an X-Acto knife and cut lines horizontally across the miniature.
Opening that box was like watching the X-Files, you know, with the small grid.
I must say, I painted one of the Cersei's features, and the detail were fine.
Your little robot?
Yeah, I was going to say the robot.
The pacer, right?
The pacer, there's no face on it, so...
You know what? I should.
But I started painting my shattered swords, and they look great.
Yeah, no.
So
model and also faction in
the. Well, some faction are worse.
I completely
like
forgot I have those models.
The middles or the middle rider for Malia is fine. The
plastic version
is crap. The worst model is one of the mechanics. And they have two. One has no face. And the other has one, but they come in the same box. So.
Do you need both?
Oh, right. It's a squad of 1, 2, 2. So.
Can you just insta-mold the other one's head and then make a clone of it glued onto the other one's body?
Maybe.
That's a good idea.
And you could just cut a little nose. That's all she's missing, right?
Maybe she lost it in an accident. She's a mechanic after all.
Yeah, or you had a scarf or something like that. No problem. I'll paint them. I like the concept
you know what?
Behind it, but I see the problem with them.
I gotta pull out my pirates, the Space Corsairs. I keep, to be honest, the more I look at the models, because Black Down was my first choice, and the Space Corsairs are like the second faction I got because. But the more I look at the Black Diamond faction, the more I'm like, wow, it's really kind of boring looking. And I mean, the big axe guy is kind of cool. I don't know.
What's cool from Black Diamond? Was the remake. Everything else is pretty...
Yeah, one shot. I bought it for one shot. And I actually own
the original middle one, which is far better anyway. So.
Which I didn't realize, right? I saw, I'm going to get the exact same model, but in plastic it'll be... No. And in fact, Guillaume was trying to buy that one shot off me, the original one, forever.
True.
I found it this week. I know where it is. We can talk after the show.
So all this to say that let's hope the Ninja...
I have no fear because it's run only by Soda Pop Miniature. And with what we've seen, right, from the Forlaken King.
Okay.
Like,
yeah,
they had the scout that Temple Khan. It was production model.
Yeah, so chibi stuff has been great, right?
Incredible, and it's the same guys run it, the same production facilities.
So Relic Knight was
from Soda Pop, but run with Kumi.
So it's a community pad that didn't go so well.
And it's also a different material.
Different material, different sculpture, different scale, and also different production facilities.
So too many different factors and
Master.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. They're sticking with the formula they know that works. So
yeah.
I'm not concerned about this.
Oh, well, no. For owning chibi stuff from Sodapop, I know they're good at it.
It's that's interesting how the whole chibi thing getting now its own kind of niche of miniatures.
Yeah. And they're different. They're fun to paint. They're really different to paint also.
Would rivet roars be also considered?
Kind of chibi.
Yeah. I would say.
Those are fun to paint also.
But it started with Super Dungeon. I guess the whole Sodapop thing.
Yeah, Super Dungeon was the original chibi game. And then people like Impact Miniatures did their Kickstarter and basically...
Did their Kickstarters.
Yeah. And kind of, you know, riding the coattails of Super Dungeon.
The Arcadia Quest thing?
No. What they did originally was... Their first Kickstarter was for Adventurer Minis. They're Chibi Adventurers, but based off the 1980s Dungeons & Dragons cartoon. So it's all the characters from that cartoon in Chibi form. And then they expanded it with all the monsters and add-on characters from the cartoon. So it was a lot of cool stuff. And then they also added... They did a second Kickstarter, which was Japanese-themed. So it was all the Street Fighter characters, Airbender, stuff from anime like Inuyasha, and I don't know if they did like Naruto and other stuff. And so they did like... They're basically grid ripping other people's IP and making it into Chibi.
Yeah, and they did a third one with the pulp and tube stuff.
Oh, yeah, the Cthulhu. Yeah, right. And they did My Little Pony stuff too. My Little Pony Chibi. They did a Cthulhu Pony with like the tentacles. So all I'd say, Chibi's definitely been big the last few years.
And you mentioned Arcade Quest. It does fit. They don't have the same
aesthetic.
They have bigger heads, but all the facial detail is more detailed.
It's more crisp.
Yeah, it's like almost like a halfway.
Yeah, halfway too. Or more caricaturized. So everything is more sharp, but still big and chibi. So it's strange. It's a different style. I don't dig it as much, but the game is supposed to be great. So that's it for me. G?
So let's go with one very old news by now. It's the Brewmaster for Malifaux. So if you like little gremlins getting drunk and doing drunken kung fu, then this would be your crew of choice. If you've not played Malifaux since V1, I would strongly recommend you give it a try to the V2 that came out 2 years ago, I think now. Cause
approaching 2 years, because it was at Gen Con, not last year, but the year before that it launched.
Yeah. So approaching 2 years, and they did new rules, and it changed a lot the way the game works, of course. Well, sometimes, you know, you can do new rules, and it doesn't change too much. Say, one machine did new rules, and overall, the game still feels pretty much the same, other than point system. But Malifaux, I would say, changed a lot of the dynamics, especially with upgrades and stuff like that. And the other news I have is Massive Voodoo Blog is hosting their second Bananalicious contest. It's an online painting competition, and you have until April 22nd to post something, and there's many, many categories. I think there's 7 or 8, something like that. If I recall, it's free. Tons of prizes.
They have cool, medals.
Chess
medals.
Yeah.
Or gorillas medals.
Anyway, you should give it a try, and especially if it costs nothing. And you should check their blog if you don't know them, because it's really inspiring. If you love painting miniatures, it is something you should have in your blog.
Oh, yeah, great tutorials,
insane.
And they do also, they test products and stuff like that.
Yeah, personally, it's my favorite painting blog.
Cool. All right, so on my side, we actually... Well, we'll be going more detail this later, but we actually tried an unboxing of the Unleashed Adventure Kit coming out on March 18th from Privateer Press. It is their basically expansion into the Iron Kingdoms universe from a Horde's perspective. And all I can say is, wow, really, really impressed. I love how it's so beastly and so barbarian style. Very, very cool. We'll get into that later when we go through what we did at TempleCon. Another nice pick, very recently released, is the X-Wing Miniatures Wave 6, including the Most Wanted and a bunch of expansions for the new faction, Scum and Villainy. And I didn't know really what to expect, but when I was holding the miniatures in my hand, I was very much impressed. Fantasy Flight does a bang-up job on getting their pre-painted miniatures looking really super fine.
Well, it's Dust Studio,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
The Dust Studio pre-paints, like the pre-paints you can buy from them, amazing, right? So they keep that quality level across all their product line.
So very much impressed on those miniatures that just came out. That's it.
All right, so that's it for news and rumors. So let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about our main topic, which is TempleCon. So we'll be right back, geeks. And we're back. All right, main topic. The main event, TempleCon 2015. Camda. Yeah, so, TempleCon. So this is something we've been talking about for, I guess, about 6 months. We first start, the rumblings.
November.
Yeah, well, maybe it was November with you guys, so like 4 or 5 months before. I didn't talk about Antoine for like forever.
Yep.
Because I missed last year, and we were planning to go this year. And then Antoine had to go and have a baby. His wife's having the baby. He's there.
She's gonna have one.
Yeah. Any day now.
Any day now.
A new gamer into the fold.
She might be trying to reach me right now.
Your phone's on, right?
All the noise is phone.
I don't want to be responsible for that. I've seen her angry. I don't want any part of that. So we've been talking about it, and it's such a reasonably close event. That'd be a shame not to attend.
Yes.
And it's grown so much in the last 10 years.
Well, it's the 10th year.
Yeah. But it's become such an event. They've added an extra day just for miniature gaming, right? Because
yep.
And there wasn't enough time during the weekend. And they play 24/7. It's not like they could add another event somewhere. Just, well, we'll play later. No, that's book two. So it's pretty crazy. So we piled into the car Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning-ish.
No, it was morning. I got into the car at 10:30. You said...
No, you actually got in at 12.
No, it was 11. Because you called me
up. He came to pick me up. He was supposed to be there at 10:30, and I think he showed up.
No, he'd swapped you and me. Then we're going to argue about who got picked up later. But Dan originally told me he was going to pick me up at 10. And then he called me up and said, nope, it's going to be different. I'm going to pick you up first, and then I'm going to pick you up. So then he called me and let me know he was running a bit late. But it was just a bit late, so it was okay. So we got in the car, and then we found out, or Dan informed me, you maybe already knew. He's like, yeah, all that stuff I was supposed to do yesterday when I said I was going to load the car, yeah, I didn't do that, so we have to go by the store and load the car. Okay. So, I knew it was going to happen, sort of my wife, actually. She had a running bet with me, like, when Dan was going to come get me. She actually figured 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I texted her when he came to get me, like, hi, you were wrong. Dan actually showed up on time. Suddenly left here.
I aimed to surprise.
Around noon. So we were running late, but it was okay. We had a couple of hiccups trying to get some American currency on the way.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so we started on our trip south to Rhode Island.
Or east. Yeah, to Granby.
I thought we were going
south. South of Montreal.
And then I'm sitting in the back, and I'm actually editing episode 11 in the car, and I hear them mention Granby.
And I'm like, Granby's not on the way to TempleCon. I should look up now. So I look up, and I'm actually from that area. So I look outside, and I'm like, okay, we're not in Granby, but we're like near Farnham. So we're almost to Granby. So I'm like, Dan, what's going on? He's like, yeah, I went to Stansted. But that's not what we talked about. He's like, yeah, I told you I was taking Highway 10. I'm like, yeah, Highway 10, but there's an exit off Highway 10 just as you exit Montreal to go south to the border. Oh. So we took a little side trip.
You didn't that one. You did just take the other one.
Yeah, well, you know. It's all good. So let us have a little side trip and a little adventure.
So we had to get our poutine fixed before we left.
Yeah, so we went to the award-winning Chez Ben in Granby.
Well, it's beau la bedaine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got plenty of bedaine to show for.
The bowl, yeah.
So we had some food, and then again tried to go get some American money at the bank, which Guillaume had no luck at.
Yeah. Okay, so if anyone listening to this podcast happens to be a high-ranking BMO, I would say official, director, yes. Part of the board of director or something. Someone who can make a decision.
Because I'm sure those people listen to my gaming podcast.
Yeah, who knows? Please, don't be cheap. Don't try to get bigger bonus at the end of the year. Yeah, kind of feels bad. Well, you won't follow that advice, but put one more person and one more cashier. Because when there's like a line of 20 and I have to wait 40 minutes to get change in Granby, on, what was it?
Wednesday
afternoon at like 1 o'clock. I think there's a little problem with your institution. So yeah, thanks for the service. And you know what's the worst? We actually, spent, 30 minutes, the night before. Well, Dan went to, InstaCheck trying to make the American money. And, the girl closed in his face. So
yeah, before she closed her cash before closing hours, and I just found that completely unacceptable.
And then you went back and saw her the next day before we left to try it again, and had a problem again, and still didn't get American money.
Yeah, she offered a like really bad rate, and
she offered him a really good rate, and then changed her mind.
Yeah, right. And gave him the cash. Yeah,
and changed her mind. So we said no to that. We'll get a better rate somewhere else, and in the end, we didn't get a better rate.
Anyway, so all that to say, we left several hours late, had a great blast on the way down, arrived in Rhode Island at around 8:30 at night, I think?
Yeah.
As opposed to 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Not so bad.
You, it's not so bad.
We got poutine, man.
Only four and a half hours late. That's pretty good for you.
Poutine is worth the wait.
Maybe not 4 hours.
Yeah, so we got in, checked in, then we went to the Ironworks Tavern. Grabbed some ciders and some clam chowder. Guillaume's first clam chowder,
yes,
I believe.
Yes. Chaudray de Palo.
Ever?
Yeah. I had never tried that before, and I was extremely pleasantly surprised. It might look like vomit, but it doesn't taste like it.
Wow. It was the first of many clam chowders over the weekend.
Yeah.
And as Dan will attest to, because Dan got clam chowder.
I went
overdose.
Down for the clam chowder, and that was
the gaming was the side thing.
Yeah, the side thing.
I agree with you.
Yeah, no, it was good. I still can taste the Iggy's Doughboy. So that leads us up to day one. So day one at TempleCon. Getting our badges. So we actually already had, Guillaume and I already had our badges. Dan had to get his. There was no lanyards to be had, so we couldn't wear them. But people kept wandering around asking us where our badges were because we weren't wearing them. And it's like, well, yeah, but you don't have any lanyards, so you have nothing to put them on. And like, yeah, well, you have to wear them. But we can't, because you have nothing for us to put them on.
That in the previous years.
Yeah.
They ran out.
They ran out, and they hadn't gotten enough, and they ran out, and they're waiting for more to come in.
On day one.
On day one, yeah.
Yeah, opening.
But it was funny that there were people, like, coming up to me and being, like, quasi-harassing me about it. But there was nothing I could do. It was just a little plastic card, right?
Yeah.
So I put it in my pocket. I just wanted to see it. I pulled it out. Like, what more do you want me to do?
Hold it in your teeth.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm a corpse with a dog tag in the mouth, right? Yeah. So that was a little annoying. Line up at the Privateer Press booth.
Yeah, yeah.
So the beginning of the day was a actually went pretty quick. We had about 40 minutes, I guess, in line.
Yeah, it felt
awesome. Dan bought half the store.
Yeah, the guys at PIP were like, dollar signs in the eyes.
That's something I find funny. You guys work in a store, that's why you call it PIP, because nobody calls them. Like
that's
that.
True.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, that's
PIP
the code.
Is the code.
Yeah, yeah,
they're
it's
called
the code.
PIP, not PIP.
We're too accustomed to the code.
Did I also call it PIP? Okay.
Private group.
So, we picked up...
Cons are the spot to get the exclusive models, and
right.
People love that stuff, and I'm actually sold out of all the exclusive models we picked up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the chibis and the badges are going really well, so it's a great opportunity, especially if such a big miniature manufacturer is there. To pick up all that exclusive stuff and bring it to the fans back home.
Yeah, but can't attend the con.
Yeah, no, I think you're right to pick it all up. I mean, you had a pretty sizable price tag at the end there.
No, absolutely, but we also ended up picking up the pre-release and got to demo some of the...
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we'll get there later, but the Sacco Vault was another nice purchase.
Yeah, we picked up early releases.
Yeah.
That's
And I grabbed a Druid Gone Wilder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, and some of the new tokens, the early release tokens for like the wound markers. Super handy.
Yeah.
You picked the wrong size.
Yeah, you picked small base and you had medium.
Yeah, I
you didn't pay attention. Well, that's fine.
And that was the thing. I think, to be honest, I had one in my hand and I asked for one and the guy grabbed one off the table and put it in the bag.
So maybe.
But it wasn't the one I was holding, right? The one I was holding I put back on the table because he'd given me one. Anyway, it doesn't matter because it doesn't fit up next to the base, but it's still you put it next to the guy, it's indicating how much health that model
has. And you can
right?
use that for other models.
Yeah, exactly. I know no one's gonna be like, "This is not the right size for that." Wow. Screw you. I'll beat them over the head with my metal warpwolf. Great fun. Line was fairly fast. What was funny is we were there early, and a lot of stuff was sold out. Right, like it's not Moros. What's his name? Restoration chair.
Moros.
That's Moros, yeah. So he was already sold out by the time we got there. And we were at the event when, 10 minutes after doors open. And for once, we were there early in the morning.
Yes. Yeah.
That was the other thing I noticed. We got there, it was early, and there was already, all the Iron Arena tables were full.
Yeah, they were full. I couldn't believe it.
I guess the people who stayed in the hotel got up at, 8 a.m. to go down and start playing Iron Arena. It's crazy. Because I think that's when it opened. Yeah, even though the con really only opened, I think, at 10 or something. It would, it was pretty impressive. And we did that, and then we got some games in. We did a little bit of Iron Arena. So I played Guillaume, and we played a scenario table. We were playing a underground scenario.
Just before that, actually, we went to Iggy's for the time, because we
I thought
played
we played
in
the game
afternoon.
Oh, okay.
After we came back, because we went to the car, dropped the bags, and then while we were at the car, we went
so
to Iggy's.
I thought
we were
played
clam chowder.
Yeah, we went to the Iggy's Clam Shack. Sorry.
We had to refill to get to focus.
So, so we went to Clam Shack first before we came. Like, Iron Arena was only after. All right.
White clam chowder is the best. I know I tried both.
Well, but you didn't try clear. There's three.
Yeah, white is better.
And we had the clam cakes, which are really salty clam donut things, which I could eat eight million of. And then the doughboys.
Sure.
Yeah. There's a large glass of water. But they're so. That's the only problem I had with Iggy's. The food is all good, and amazing place to check out if you want fast seafood, whatever in the area.
And affordable,
yeah.
But you feel like Homer after you're...
But it's everything is deep fried, right?
Yes.
Everything is battered. Everything is deep fried, and it gets to you. You have that the mixed seafood platter, or whatever. You're eating fried everything for the next 30 minutes. It's a little hard on the system.
Yep.
Maybe if I was 20, it wouldn't bother me as much. But at 40, it's makes you a little sluggish.
So after that, we went into Iron Arena.
We played our scenario.
We warmed up.
Yeah. I actually won a game. It was pretty impressive. So we played a scenario. It was underground. And the objectives were crystals. And you had to try to have a unit in base contact with the crystals to gain a control point.
These bottomless pits.
And the the thing was that there was bottomless pits. Each one of us got to place a bottomless pit just after deployment. Mm-hmm. And I managed to do okay. I had a K list with a bunch of warp wolves. It was super beast heavy. And then the skinwalkers, the full unit with the alpha. And I had a pureblood warp wolf, so he gave the other warp wolves ghostly, so I moved through the tree to basically run straight at to objectives. And Guillaume kept forgetting that the objective was to get these crystals, so he kept stopping just out of base contact, like half an inch away.
Yeah, I'm so used to the flags and the new control rules where you have to be 5-inch. I think within 2 or 4-inch and
4-inch, yeah.
And you control, so I'm like, oh, I'm fine. And then scoring time, oh, I'm not touching them. Oh, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
And I gave like away 3 points easily like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then on the last turn when I won, you were contesting the point I was holding. You destroyed one of my units that was controlling.
Yeah.
And I still had another unit that was a warp wolf that was controlling another one. And so you charged in there with the Dark Trollmaw?
Yeah, something like that. It was like a all or nothing move.
And I managed to basically slam him to push him back, but I didn't get him far enough.
But it pushed him in a wall. Bam!
Yeah, and then I two-hand threw him into a hole.
Yeah.
So I felt vindicated. I felt vindicated. I managed to throw someone into a bottomless pit, so I felt pretty good.
Successfully pulling those power moves in one machine.
It's so rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so rewarding.
I find it becomes better with a scenario like that, because you, like when it's a Wadjack in water, it pays off because you extinguish the furnace. But when it's a Wabist in water, there's nothing happening. But when it's a bottomless pit and you instantly die, a 200 throw is probably the strongest thing you can pull off on a map like that. It's so much fun.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And I think Dan also played a game that day.
Yeah, I played the Ancient Colossal
Right, you're
scenario.
Playing the other scenario table.
So we had 2 galleons on the table, plus this Ancient Colossal. Well,
and the Colossal acts on its own? Or
yeah, so every turn, the player that's playing gets to control the Colossal if he spends focus to do so, and it's in your control. And you're just going there, whacking something, and then it comes back to the center. But it does this bulldozer move where it pushes everything out of the control zone. So it's killing models all over the place. So it was a really interesting scenario with 3 Colossals on the table.
Now, what would happen if you were playing Hordes?
You'd just be... If
one guy's playing War Machine, the other guy's playing Hordes.
It was updated so that a Fury could control it. So.
Oh, okay, because I'm like, that's going to suck for that Hordes player.
Yeah.
Free Colossal pounding on you. Was it destructible? Like, could you...
Yeah, you can totally do some damage, but...
But that scenario table is also old, so it was probably super armored and like crazy health tool compared to current.
I think it was armor 20.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, with a bunch of bolts.
So after that, if I recall, Paul and I went for beers when you were finishing your game.
Oh, right.
And we had like nice beers at the bar. And cider, I think. Yeah.
No, they were out of cider, remember?
Oh, okay.
They'd sold out of cider.
Yes, that's true.
So we're having the Sam Adams seasonal.
Yep.
Yeah, which was quite tasty.
So, and after the beers, because we had refilled up a Wacaster shield, we went for a 2v2 game with Dan and Jose, one of our customers at Gamers Hope. In an epic alliance of Circle of Phoboros and Trollbloods versus pirates and minions.
And due to some creative ruling on our part, we decided that friendly faction meant friendly team. So the troll spells made for some crazy synergy on the circle stuff.
Well, they started that. I was like, oh, you want to play like that? I strongly recommend not to. And you guys were like, yeah. I'm like, well, you guys really shouldn't, because...
Wasn't it just friendly or friendly faction?
No, it was friendly faction.
Some of them are friendly faction and some of them are friendly models. Like, most of the Trollblood spells are friendly models, which is amazing when you play minions or mercenaries with them. But the Animus, most of them are friendly faction. And, don't do that. Don't do a friendly faction in a 2v2. never ends well.
But I just have to say that that was my favorite scenario table of Iron Arena, with the piers that are destructible, with cranes that are moving stuff across the map, with this coastline that's we were both playing these amphibious factions, so it just looked really awesome. And
it definitely
and I,
did.
Yeah, and I had a lot of fun actually.
Yeah, the game was fun, but it got to a point after like 3 hours or something where it was turning into a slog. And at that point, I looked at Guillaume like, I haven't eaten yet.
Yeah,
this is now like 9:30 at night or 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, I'm done.
I saw the look on Paul's face as we have to get that. And I was feeling the same way because I played Troll Blood, so extremely tough, extremely grindy faction.
Yeah.
Paul was playing a more resilient Circle of Arboros than most people play. So also like a multi-wound infantry war beast, so able to grind. Then stuff was mostly dead, and it was like all single wound infantry we would have no trouble killing. But Rosé was mostly
an war beast and like multi-wound stuff.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, he was playing Gatorman, which is if there's one faction that can grind in War Machine odds, it is the Gatorman. And he was mostly untouched versus trolls, mostly untouched, and Circle of Arboros extremely grinding too. So we were there for another good 1 hour, 2 hours, if not more. And we had to eat at this point. It was like 9 o'clock at least. I think even maybe even 10.
Yeah,
because we're afraid of.
We got to the restaurants. Like when we finished packing and everything, it was after 10. And we were worried we wouldn't be able to find something to eat.
So we went to the bar.
Went to the bar and ate there and there.
Got my pizza 5 minutes after everybody had finished their meal.
I don't know.
Clam chowder number 3.
Yeah, that's right. I had a salad. It was my only reasonable meal of the whole weekend. I had a salad with a grilled chicken breast. Dan had clam chowder and also
the shank.
Yeah.
The pork shank.
What's that called? Also Busco.
Osso buco.
That's it. Yeah. And Guillaume's pizza. Yeah, I don't know if they're growing the tomatoes for the sauce or whatever, but it took forever. Poor Guillaume.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like he was about to faint by the time the food came.
Oh, man. I think it was a good portion. Good meal.
Yep.
For the moment.
So then that went home, sleep off those beers, come back for day two. Day two was the Friday. And that was the Privateer Press keynote, I believe. It was Friday morning. So we got to see the great previews of, well, not much, really. There's a novel,
a
board
stuff,
game.
But
not stuff like
Colossal,
War Machine.
Iron Kingdom.
Yeah, they did show the Colossals, but they held out on the Horde stuff for another 2 weeks. Now it's all been released. The Horde stuff I thought was more interesting than the Colossals.
Oh,
the Colossals were just part swaps, right? So it's still a Stormwall, but it's got different shoulders and different little bits. It's still a Conquest, but it's got a different gun on top. And so it's nothing really different looking. But for the give me a second, Gail. I was gonna say, but for the Horde stuff, it changed quite a bit, right? It's new models, so I think they look cool.
Personally, I find it a little infuriating if you paid $135 for a Colossal, and then the new release is a weapon swap. Even if they make it a kit and you've got your Colossal already built and painted, it's kind of a slap in the face, you know? Are you gonna pay $135? Bucks for a full kit where it's a part swap? Or are you gonna buy the part separately and remove the weapons of a model you already built and painted?
It's not like you magnetized it because you weren't planning to necessarily swap it.
Exactly. You didn't know about it. So it's really a slap in the face of War Machine players. Whereas on the other end, odd players have been spoiled. I play odds and personally I'm so happy I play odds. Like the new Gargantrans. Gorgeous.
Have they actually released the shots of the circle one? There was some concept art stuff I saw.
Oh, that's the only two.
Yeah, that one. I like the
only
one.
One they showed, the model one, was the score.
Yeah.
The score.
I'm sorry, it's the score one. Yeah. That looks really cool.
And the other were just stitches. Or they just mentioned. Like the circle one, there was no art.
No art, yeah. It was
just mentioned.
Yeah, they describe it.
The giant croc part.
Yeah.
Giant bird.
It's not going to be a giant stone thing, so I'll buy it.
Yeah. Very nice.
I don't do the whole construct thing with my circle. It's not really the team I want to go for. So buying was it? Not Megaboo.
This.
The War Engine?
World Warden?
World
Wrath? World Wrath?
Oh, yeah.
Warden's, yeah. Buying the World Wrath didn't really appeal to me. So I'm looking forward to this. It should be cool. Is there anything else from Predator Press for the keynote? I don't really
know. There was Under City.
Yeah, like I said, there's the board game.
Yeah.
Which looked cool. That's a dungeon crawl game. That seems to be immensely popular now.
No Q&A.
Yeah, they didn't do a Q&A. But it was much shorter than what it usually has in the past, right?
They are running so many big events now.
Well, that's just it, right? They're
trending their stuff. They have their own convention. They had SmugCon for the first time this year, so...
Yeah, no, they're trying to spread out their news releases, right? I get it, but it still kind of sucks those people who've been doing this for 10 years or whatever.
We were used to have so much release.
Well, it was an hour-long thing with like a half-hour Q&A before.
Cool.
And it's the 10th year anniversary of TempoCon, so you'd expect, a shock news or something.
It's 10th year of TempoCon, not for Predator Fest.
Actually, it's the 10 years of odds.
No, it's next year.
Next year.
So why did they just show that?
They show stuff for next year.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, so we'll see a new faction next year, right? A new sub-faction?
It's not announced.
Yeah, but...
It's unclear.
They did it for War Machine, normally they'll do it.
But they've told they're working on the new faction for years. So
it
will probably be next year. Either a new minion pack or a new faction.
It'd be nice to see a new sub-faction, kind of like the Cephalix or the...
Which are mercenary sub-factions.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
minions, another pack.
Yeah.
Minions,
or what's the Convergence? Like a faction with a mini release, right? Like it's not getting a full release like the other guys, but something like that for Hordes would be cool.
One shot faction as they come in.
Yeah. Well, it's still gonna get models going down the road, but it's further ahead, right? So we did that. And then I wonder what we did for lunch that day.
Before you move to something else. Didn't you guys find that the Glacier King looked like the Ice King from Adventure Time?
Yeah. To be honest, it's funny that you thought of that. Yeah, he did look like the Adventure Time Ice King.
It's called the Avalanche King, and I was happy I said it right. It wasn't hard to guess because Orlok is going in the north to find
new types of mountain kings, right? So
as soon as they announced new Colossals, I was like, oh well, Troblood's probably gonna get a frozen mountain king.
And you weren't disappointed.
Yeah, no, very nice.
To be honest, I was disappointed by the sketch.
Yeah, the model may be cool.
But yeah, but we will see with the model. I didn't find the pose inspiring.
Is it coming out this year?
No way.
Antoine, I just have to say, I'm just happy it's not a big troll with his fist bumping into the ground and the other one in the air. And instead of rocks, it's like spikes of ice.
Yeah.
So I'm just happy it's not a weapon.
Because for trolls, it could have been the case. It's almost the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. And
what's in his deck? A giant pile of ice
instead
of a giant pile of rock.
But the pose is like the Dire Troll Mauler, right?
Yeah,
but more upright. We'll see with the Maul, because from the sketch, I found it more static than the old Mauler one.
Yeah, I surely prefer the Mauler and the Mountain King from the sketch also.
So we'll see with the real Maul when we see it.
Yeah, we'll have to see it. So we went and did some lunch. Did we go back to Iggy's? Probably went back to Iggy's again. We spent a lot of time at Iggy's. And then we came back for our Drossum Commander tourney.
Yeah, that was an okay turnout. We had four people altogether.
Okay turnout. The three of us played and one other guy. Very nice other guy, Patrick. Who had obviously come prepared. He'd really come with I'm going to win list. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't a bad list. He was a great opponent. He was a lot of fun. He was videotaping little interviews at the end of every game for his own blog.
Yep.
But his list was designed to win. Whereas Guillaume was playing with borrowed models, so it's
my first time playing?
Yeah. I'd forgotten to make a list, and I'd run out of time, and I'd have a printer up at home, so I just used a list I'd played earlier in the week that I knew didn't work. Because it got wrecked by Dan. They're like, whatever, I'll play this anyway. And then Dan was playing just one of his fun lists.
Same list, actually. Same list I wrecked you with.
Yeah.
And it wrecked me a second time. It's all good. So I went 013.
I went actually 2 and 1. Well, actually, 1 and 2. But I managed to score enough point in my game against Paul and enough point in my game and my loss against Dan that I was in second place until my last game versus Patrick for the final, let's call it that way, where he crushed me so badly. And by to describe how badly it was, it's a table quarter, so you have to control table quarters. And you make tiebreakers and extra point depending on how much you destroy. And he controlled all 4 quarters and destroyed more than roughly half my points of my own. So yeah, it didn't go well.
You had no table quarters. You controlled no table quarters.
Yeah, exactly.
And lost half your models. Yeah.
The guy made probably half of his point from the tournament in my game against me.
Yeah, I didn't have any like massive losses. And a lot of the games I lost, a lot of them are if they went one more turn, because I always seem to be one turn short. That one more turn would have made things like a lot closer, or I made one. But yeah, I just couldn't get my act together in the short game. Like to try to get, you know, in 5 turns, get it done. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, well, I really enjoyed the event. And what I liked most was the head turning that we got from the people walking by.
Because, wow, everyone loved the look of the game. Yeah, what is this?
Yeah, when we brought the terrain, we spent a couple of days just, putting a bunch of cityscapes and runescapes together for the event. And when you put that down on the table with the tiles, and it's just so easy to use as a terrain for a miniature game. You put that down and it's painted and it's cardboard, but it's still,
it still looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. And so people are just walking by and like, hey, hold on a second. What is this? And this is, it was just a
and
great.
And we all had painted armies.
Yeah, all had painted armies at least, mostly, and I like the fact that, you know, it gets the attention. And it's one of the reasons I love playing this game. It's mobile warfare with some really good-looking stuff.
And you can shoot missiles at buildings.
Yeah, that's the idea.
I have to say a big thanks to Chris, who landed me his models. Thanks to him, I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Yeah. So Patrick took home the Resistance starter, which was the prize.
Yeah.
Sorry, Antoine. Yeah.
I'll have to pay for it.
Yeah, well, these things.
Oh, you wanted one too?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, I have to say, it just, that faction and what they did with it, and just from the get-go when they first announced it, it looks so good. I mean, we're talking about humans with that orcish kind of feel, yet still.
The ramshackle stuff, yeah. No, it's well done.
Yeah.
Mad Max, very Mad Max feeling. Yeah, no, it appeals to a lot of people.
And their aerial units are beautiful.
Attack choppers.
The attack choppers, the fighter bomber.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That fighter bomber looks like something out of Firefly meets like something out of the Matrix.
Or I was going to say Transformers.
Almost, yeah. Like,
Anyways,
they look really good.
One cool thing with the rules of the faction is that every faction in the game, up until the Resistance, had active countermeasures, which basically are just to say that it's a military vehicle with support against missiles and projectile. But the Resistance is using cars and bikes and stuff that's not...
School buses.
School buses with guns. That's not military. So they don't have the active countermeasure. And what that does in the game is that in the game...
Your ranges are much longer.
Yeah, when you shoot at something that's a military vehicle that has active countermeasure, your range it might be 12 inch. But if you're shooting at a building, a vehicle, let's say from the Resistance, that doesn't have active countermeasure, your range suddenly increased to your maximum range of like 36 inches. So
yeah.
You triple or quadruple your range on that.
Yeah,
it's
crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. So that went well, and Patrick was doing a little interview for his blog. He interviewed, I think, all three of us for that event, and it was a good time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And we ran late. We ran about an hour late. And we had to, like, quickly tear stuff down because the Relic Knights tournament was about to start, yeah. Oh, they were cool to let us run that extra hour, and it made them late, right? So I can't complain that they wanted us out of there.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. And Dan was, you know,
nice enough to give us some prize support for the everyone who participated. So we got some tokens and stuff, which are nice from Broken Egg Games, right?
Yeah,
Broken Egg Games objectives.
We had I'd spoken to them the day before, and hopefully we'll be able to get our logos on some templates through them. So we'll see how that
goes. They have some really really nice tournament boards, like
to carry the like
The trays and stuff. I know you've tried stuff like that before. They're so nice.
The wood one with
the multi-level.
Exactly. And the price point isn't that much more than what the plain MDF ones are.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, instead of $50, you're going to pay $70. But you know, $55, $70, people will spend that because it looks so much better.
If you don't pay wrong, that's... the space required for that, you need a larger size one.
Yeah.
It's like the molds. It really costs more when you play trombones.
Yeah, well, go big or go home, right?
Yeah.
So then that night, we went for... No. What am I missing?
Went somewhere, but not for that restaurant and seeing that, because I know that wasn't that.
Oh, okay.
I just can't recall where we ate that night, but must not have been that great, because we don't recall.
Really?
Yeah, that was the night after. I know because I'll explain later.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I just can't recall where we... It's not important, because it wasn't that amazing.
That's fantastic. Oh, no, we went to the barbecue place.
The grill?
Yeah, we went to Smoky Bones.
Yes, there we go.
Smoky Bones Barbecue, right. Which, I thought the food was okay. I think Dan was less than impressed. I thought my food was nice. The bathrooms were kind of scary, but the waitress was cute.
Yeah, the eye candy was fun.
Yeah. Restaurant itself looked nice. Lineup wasn't too long. We went to a pharmacy where Guillaume, told the poor white kid behind the cash that Dan wasn't on drugs and not to be scared.
Okay. So picture this. It's probably like 11 or 12 at night, and there's this black guy all excited. Oh, man, they got pop rocks. Oh, they got pop rocks. I'm like, okay, guys, just, you know, he's not on drugs. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
So at that point, I walked out. So I'm like, I'm going to get some fresh air because I started coming out of the cold at this point. I wasn't feeling so well. And I'm waiting in the car because I'm driving. And Dan and Guillaume come out, and Dan's like, I can't believe you said that. I can't. Wham. Small town, U.S., you're talking with a black guy, you're saying he's not on drugs. Like, what are you thinking?
You had to see that.
Then Dan gets in the car, and he's like, you're going freaking out about Pop Rocks. Have you ever tried Pop Rocks? And Guillaume's like, no. He's like, we have to try this. So then Dan gives Guillaume some Pop Rocks. And Guillaume's face transforms into like a three-year-old, like the pure glee and the excitement of like, oh my god, this is amazing, give me more. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
So yeah, it was a fun experience.
And then we painted.
Yeah, so we
assembled.
So we get back to the hotel room after dinner and after our adventure at the pharmacy, and we're like, let's do some painting. So I brought my airbrush along. And Dan wanted to play the soccer ball the next day that we picked up.
We wanted to show off, basically.
Yeah.
I must say, you not only painted, we did the Google, yeah, because I couldn't with you yet.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Guillaume assembled the soccer ball, and then I speed painted it while he worked on some of the miniatures from Unleashed. And it went pretty well.
Pretty well, that was that's awesome.
Yeah, so I got... I got a lot of the base work done that night. We finished around 1 o'clock in the morning. I went to bed. Got up at 9 a.m. the next day, and I painted till around noon, like it was.
Yeah.
To get it to where it is now, which is about 80% complete. We showed up at the event, and people were like...
Are you serious?
We wanted to show up, and show up we did.
Yeah.
And it came out really nice for something that was probably a 4.5 hour paint job so far. It came out really slick.
And I actually had fun with it, playing with the infantry heavy list, where every time something's dying, you're getting a corpse token out of it. So.
Yeah, so we went back, we played some more in Arena, and Dan, you played that crazy list.
Oh, the
self-replicating, repairing...
Convergence of Sirius, yeah, what 7, Galvanizer.
Galvanizer. The Galvanizer list. Wow.
There's like 6 or 7 Galvanizers, yeah. And the...
Primaxium.
Primaxium, yeah.
That was a funny win, because I had Morvana's regrowth spell on, and it just allowed me to collect corpses from my own dying troops with a sacral vault while... respawning the same models back onto the field the next turn. So, and not only that, respawning them behind enemy lines. So what a great, great spell with Morvana on an infantry heavy list. And actually got out of it with a win. Totally, total fluke on that.
Yeah, and I went into, while you guys were doing that, I went and played a demo of, Skidmarks.
Skidmarks.
Which is a game that's going to be going on Kickstarter this month. From Iron Box, and the creator was our demoing it, Yann Folange.
Yes.
So New York, he's at he lives in New York now. I don't know if he's from New York. Speaks French, which was kind of funny. So we sat there and we talked French at each other while we were playing. Fun game. You know, it's just a dice game, right? It's a Mad Max themed board game where you're racing against your opponents. The base game is 4 players. It's a game of backstabbing, and like there's enough meat there to make it strategic to play, but a lot of it is you roll dice. There's 2 different dice pools. One's for movement, one is for resources, and you can reroll. It's like Yahtzee. You get up to 2 rerolls, so you can go, okay, well, I rolled my resource dice. I'll keep 2 of them because I have damage. I want to repair, so I roll 2 wrenches. I'll keep those 2 wrenches. I'm going to reroll the rest and try to get something else. Try to get cash to buy weapons or whatever. So a lot of fun. Played quick, like 15, 20 minutes max. And yeah, it was hilarious. The most interesting part of that whole demo, though, was that a couple girls sat down. It was their second or third game. They kept playing this game. And they were from, originally from California. One of them was living in New York. And she found out I was Canadian. She asked me to marry her because she wanted to move to Canada. So that was interesting. First, I've never been proposed to before. At least not for being Canadian. So it was fun. And then after that, I went back to the Iron Arena to see what you guys were up to. I think Dan was still playing the Galvanizer girl.
Or was I playing against the Cavalry list?
No, that was the next day. That was the next day. So you were still playing that Galvanizer list. And Guillaume was playing with...
Dan. Cosplaying as Strakov, I think, from Kido.
Oh, see, I missed that. I know you told me you played him, but when I came back, you were playing the, I think you were playing the guy that is a customer here. A French-Canadian gentleman.
Simon.
Oh, Simon.
Simon.
Yes,
you're
yes.
Playing Simon.
Oh, yeah, so you missed that, yeah.
But I missed your first game, so tell us about your first game.
So I actually started after that, my boss. and I met this guy because I was looking for an opponent at Iron Arena, and everybody I was stopping was like, oh no. My miniatures are in my hotel room. No, I left them somewhere else. Oh, come on. It's Iron Arena. I'm going to find an opponent, am I? And then comes this guy with cosplayed as Strakov, and he's like, looking for an opponent? I'm like, yes, please. Like, okay, yeah, I'll get my Kato stuff. Shows up with his competitive Butcher Tree list with... I don't know if you've faced Butcher Tree before, if you play War Machine, but most lists look kind of like the same if you play them semi-competitive or competitive. A lot of top-tier units. Alexa, Siana, Boom Armors, all these like really grindy units. So I looked at that and I was like, oh, great. But the cool thing with people playing Butcher is that they always expose him. So I tried and went for a kill with a model Trollblood players never use, which is the Trollblood Dire Troll Blitzer.
Oh, yes.
And so I was playing Grisel, I think. And I used the Animus from the Blitzer, which in my opinion is one of the best Animus in the game, called Ripples. Legion has it on the Archangel or something like that. Not Archangel, Angelus. And it's super good where you get to push models out of the way within that area.
So you can open up charge lanes.
Exactly what I did. Because nobody played that model, people don't know what the Animus is, because even less people use Animus, or Enemy. And in that case, the guy engages my blitzer, then I activate the animus with my warlock to open the lane, and you should have seen the look on his face. He's like, what the heck is that? I'm like, yeah, it's the animus from the blitzer. Takes the card, reads it. Oh, man. And then he sees the nice clear charge lane I made from my blitzer to his butcher. I charge in with the blitzer and manage to leave butcher at 3 life and lose the game. that was it.
But it was close.
Yeah, very close. And then I played a game against Simon Sangre, one of our customers at the store. Very friendly guy. And the funny story is I played against him because I never get to play against him when I'm at the store because I'm always walking when he's in the store. I'm like, oh, I have to grab this opportunity. The charity raffle's gonna start soon. Let's draw a game now. So I play him and he wipes my board. I have Grissel left. And I'm like, well, look at her. She's gonna survive one round. And he's like, oh yeah, I don't think so. I'm like, yeah, I bet a raffle ticket on. Like, okay. Well, let's make you lie. And he tries to kill her, and total fluke, I survive with probably 2 life or something like that, and Grissel assassinate him with Falcons. So that was another out of nowhere win for Grissel. That was my games, and then we went to the charity raffle, where we saw a lot of nice armies being raffled off.
Yeah, and that took forever.
Yeah.
I really think we must have been there listening to them call out raffle for like over an hour.
Yeah, definitely. An hour and a half is.
Yeah, it was long. But there were some great prizes, yeah. Whole armies, all kinds of stuff.
Amazing. I was so jealous of the guys winning.
And I think they raised like $6,000 for charity, so
yeah,
good for them.
They did.
Good for them.
And now we went for steak.
Yes, we grabbed Jose and went for steak.
Yeah, one of our customers, Jose, and we went with him. And it has its importance when we named Jose going to steak with us. Because we went and we ate this 40 ounce.
Yeah.
40 ounce, I think, we split, Dan and I, and Jose and Paul got something else.
We got regular size steaks, yeah.
At this point, I think, Paul was, like, hit by the cold.
Yeah, my cold was really, really bad at this point, so after dinner, you guys dropped me off.
And then we
and you went back to the con,
Jose.
Yeah, and you played some Unleashed.
So we had eaten all this meat to get in the mood to play Unleashed,
yeah.
The RPG, for art.
Which was, amazing little kit, I think, the Unleashed Adventure Kit, and it comes with some tiles and some basically terrain to play it out, some miniatures, board game style, plastic miniatures, very nice, the very quick modules and the pre-gen characters are great, and they totally bring the RPG feel of the Hordes universe, and you're playing these barbarian and savage factions and the whole role playing style is that savagery and that witch doctors and so we're able to do some really really fun things in the game.
Yeah, give the example. We grabbed 2 random dudes at the con that had never played War Machine or Odds and did not know a single thing about the universe and asked them to play with us. And one of them played a bog trog shaman that can craft talismans out of corpses.
And a bone grinder.
Yeah, exactly. Describe what it is.
Oh, so, yes. And I think we're fighting Pharaoh, so a little piggy kind of faction. And there's the crocodile. There's
Jose
was playing the sniper, but he always has to feed, so.
Every
so, yeah, there was some interesting scenarios that came out of that where he was eating in front of our prisoners,
his
prisoners' friends. But what's cool, the bone grinder is that he can craft talisman, he can start creating his own little items, and it's kind of open what you can do with it. So he started making like a compass or a
spyglass
out of the guts and bones of the encounters that we were dealing with. So it was pretty cool.
Really gory, blood magic everywhere. So really fitting with the meat heavy lunch we had.
Absolutely.
So that was what the time, I think, was like
2:30 in the morning when you get in. Yeah.
But really good experience, Unleashed, and I really look forward to the full book.
I'm not a big fan of any non War Machine Arts product converter usually, because I find that they do the miniature game very good, but when they try to stray away from it, it's more a mess than a hit. But I must say that this, like, out of the kit, I was like, oh, it's okay. The RPG has a brilliant feel.
Yeah, and another great thing, I mean, if you haven't played Iron Kingdoms or Unleashed, concept with the role-playing game is that you can just grab a miniature card out of the miniature game and use it as a NPC encounter in the RPG. So it really, really works well hand-in-hand with the miniature game.
Well, the systems are fundamentally similar, right?
Yeah, yeah. So the characters, what they did is they have the characters have a spiral like a Horde's War Beast, yeah. So,
or you expect to die. Yeah. If you get hit, you lose like half of your life. It's very fun.
It's quick and painful, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of got that. Awesome. So that takes us to Sunday, the last day. And Guillaume and I started off the day with a little demo of a game that successfully passed a Kickstarter last fall. Called Pulp City,
and,
which is the second version of the game, and they had some of their Kickstarter product at DeppleCon. They were filling some pledges and stuff early, and so we got to play. I played heroes. Guillaume played villains. Justice won the day, but a great little game. I was super, super intrigued by the mechanics. I loved. So there's a bit of a resource management thing going on. Kind of like in War Machine Hordes, which I think is my favorite part about War Machine Hordes, is the Focus and Fury resource management. So I like these action points, and the fact that you spend them on units. Units have, like, exhaustion levels. Some units may use a lot of actions, or have lots of actions they can use.
But they don't bring a lot to the group,
right? So it's a way of balancing the game.
Yeah.
And they've done a great job at capturing the feel of superheroes fighting. Because they have the wall crawling and the leaping and the flight and the intangibility and teleportation
and power dice.
And power dice, yeah, yeah.
So you can
do like the great charge up, the charge up super attacks and stuff.
You can also troll models around, troll items on the
board.
Yeah,
buildings are destructible. Cars, we wrecked cars on the table.
Melt terrain.
Yep, yeah, we did a lot of melting terrain with his radioactive guy and his gold guy.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the names were, but it was a lot of fun. And I highly encourage people to check out this game. I mean, for a small indie company, I think they're doing the distribution themselves in North America.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a lot of models. Their website has a lot of information. And just what a great guy Devin was.
Yeah. Big thank you to you, Devin. And thanks also because he let me pick a part of my Kickstarter despite me not having sent the email.
Advance notice, that you'd be there.
And he let me pick Antoine's stuff too, but Antoine had done the proper thing and sent the email.
Yeah.
I've been reading the book, and I read down through the rules and at the fluff now, so I can pick it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, again. I played in the beta, but with the final stuff.
I think it's a really great Beer and Pretzels game.
Yeah, definitely.
It's got depth to it. I mean, and I don't want people to think I say Beer and Pretzels, so it's got to be a simple mechanic. It's really not simple mechanics. The mechanics are straightforward. They're logical, so it's easy to pick up. But there's depth there. There's strategy there. And it's really worth looking into for people.
If you like superheroes, chances are you're going to love Pop City.
And I would even say that even if you're not interested in maybe their models, Antoine suggested I could maybe look at using Knight models and stuff.
Yeah.
And
huge proxy for now, and with the first expansion, which should be out maybe in a year or something like that, they will have create your own screen rules. So you could even use the Knight models and do a Batman-like character by building your own screen for the game. Because they call them screens, they're superheroes.
Just small funny thing is that they have Batman in Pop City, but he's dead and walking for the Necroplane. Very funny.
Yeah, they have an undead Justice League, essentially.
Yeah, the fun
is
very good.
Supreme Zed, I think, is the Superman guy.
Wonder White?
Wonder White, yeah. It's pretty bad. Anyway, but yeah, great game, great demo. Looking forward to playing some more of that going down the road. And then we went back to Iron Arena, because that's what we did at DoubleGun. That's fine. That's what DoubleGun's about. And you guys, you played Signar. You played against
played that cavalry.
The guy who schooled you.
Totally. But he was a great patient player. Very competitive player, knew exactly what he was doing. Anytime that I had a rule question, he was...
So all the tournaments had ended by Saturday night. Or Sunday morning. I think there were some late night Saturday night ones. So Sunday Iron Arena, there were a lot of tournament players who were just there trying to grab a few extra points to try to cash in for a prize or whatever. And so me, I looked at people playing. I'm like, yeah, there's no way I'm subjecting myself to this. Like, I'm going to feel like a complete retard because I don't play the game that much. But it was interesting to watch. And like just that time where he was like, you're going to do that?
First turn.
And he's like, you know, I can kill you, right? Like, it's like, first turn. So he's like, yeah, I can just do this, do that. Move my colossal here, shoot this, you know, lightning pod, then arc electricity to you, and this, and then she's dead. But I'm not going to do that. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was still fun.
Yeah, it was just funny. That game, the experience level varies so much.
Yeah, it's all relative. I totally, I think when you're playing War Machine, it all depends on your experience and how much you're playing, and the game is great when you're first starting out, and the game is great when you're totally know your army and know how to synergize, and you know how to do your actions in the right order.
And that's probably the biggest learning curve, right, is that whole activation sequence and trying to plan. Rules-wise, the game is easy to learn, hard to master. Yeah, that's how I describe War Machine.
Definitely.
The core mechanics, 2 dice plus stat, right? Everything's 2 dice plus stat compared to your stat, and my number's bigger than yours, well, great, I win.
I would say that's why Antoine trashes us all when we play against him. It's because we play the game, but Antoine masters the game compared to us. Like, he knows what he's doing. Us, we're like trying to get to a point. He has the experience.
He knows your army too better than you know your...
Yeah, true, especially...
Well, that's not hard in my case.
Frontline. And he plays them too. It's a game kind of like Magic the Gathering where the game is easy to learn, but a good play is going to get rewarded. And I find it's very important, and that's what makes it such a great tournament game, because great plays are rewarded.
Yeah, well, that's what it's aimed to be, right? It's designed to be that great tournament game, so they did a good job with that. So after that game, Dan, and I think you played Simon again.
Yeah,
Dan.
I gave him his revenge and he won.
Yeah. He was also playing a cavalry list, wasn't he?
Yes. And I had a hard time against that.
So then you guys all went to play that special scenario.
Thunderdome,
which was a 3-caster scenario?
Yeah,
3-caster per player.
Yeah, 3 casters per player, no other models.
Yeah, so
casters versus casters.
If you had an attachment or something that or like a feat that would bring on guys, that's not allowed, but... Wow, I never saw so many massive denials or feats synergizing or working together to totally take down other casters. It was pretty crazy.
And that was designed by a fellow Canadian, right?
Yes,
Captain Spud, who I had the pleasure of meeting at the Meg Maples Masterclass. He was actually at TempleCon, too. He was playing in a lot of Infinity.
If I mistaken, he also built the table that we're at.
Yes, he did. I mentioned that, so.
And you can find all this online, no?
Yeah, so on his blog, he's got the rules and the dimensions of the tables and, like...
Yeah, and the scenarios. And
yeah, he's published everything. That's pretty awesome.
There was also a grind table that he...
Yeah.
Did.
Which I...
Oh, with LEDs. Yes. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, I didn't play on that. I know Jose played on it. He thought it was pretty fun. So, awesome. Okay, so then we did... They had the end of the day raffle at the end of Iron Arena at 4:00.
Well, we managed to win nothing again.
That's okay.
We're good like that.
And then we had the trip home, which was less eventful than the trip down, so no weird side trips for like an hour.
We did get a blizzard.
We did hit a giant snowstorm. We did stop for dinner in Boston. We're sitting in a pub, eating our food. Hockey game comes on, a bunch of Boston fans walk in. We're like, wouldn't it be funny if they're playing Montreal? Sure enough, we look up, they're playing Montreal.
And we crush them.
Yeah, we crush them, yeah. So we got out of there before that happened. And, you know, drove home pretty uneventfully. My foot is fully healed now. Because Dan had a slight accident where we got out of the car to change drivers, and Dan didn't have the car in park, and he took his foot off the brake and rolled over my foot.
A little thank you gift.
Yeah, so our parting gift. So then as I'm swearing and I get up front, Dan gets in the backseat. He's, by the time I sit down up front, Dan is already asleep in the backseat snoring.
Yep. It's like the time when he went to lay down his head on
the pillow. While we were painting the sacral vault and stuff, he's like, I'm just going to close my eyes for a couple seconds and I'll be right back.
Indeed, it was a couple of seconds before he fell asleep.
Yeah, Dan is amazing. I've never seen anyone that can fall asleep instantly.
My son, actually.
That runs in the family, I guess. So that was our trip to TempleCon.
I forgot the snow...
Snowballs.
Oh, God.
When we shed a snowball?
This is a family-friendly show, guys. So, yeah. Anyway, so we stop at a convenience store on the way back home to grab some snacks. It's late. We're getting tired. Some food and some caffeine. And...
A little giggly.
Yeah, and there's this candy... Or not candy, it's like snack cakes.
Yeah, it's like marshmallow with big, chocolate and coconut.
They're big marshmallow balls wrapped in, like, rolled in coconut or whatever, called snowballs. And Dan wants to take a picture of me and Guillaume eat this package of twos. We each had one, and Dan's, like, taking a picture of us eating these snowballs. So I made a comment, like, Dan, don't caption it, Paul snowballing Guillaume or something. And then he's like, why? So we had to explain it to him, and I won't go into it on the show, and please don't Google it, because it's not work-friendly, not family-friendly, and not safe.
You probably don't want to know neither.
Yeah, exactly. So Dan was horribly grossed out with the whole thing and then didn't talk to us for like 20 minutes. Then we came home. So, and that was our TempleCon adventure.
Definitely do it again.
So takeaways, yeah. So you would do it again?
Definitely. I was just a little sad that there wasn't more emphasis on the 10-year anniversary of TempleCon.
Well, I think there was a whole event we missed.
Yeah, but that's sad that we missed it.
So it was like Saturday night or something, or Friday?
Friday night, I
think. Well, not...
By the, what they call the launch party.
Mm-hmm. Because that wasn't in the main con area, though.
They had a bunch of ballroom upstairs. So they always had parties and dances and stuff like that.
We kind of missed that. Didn't see it advertised enough.
Yeah, didn't see it enough at all.
Well, which is sad, but it was the 10-year anniversary of a convention. So you expect something insane. And
I mean, I'm sure it was in the program somewhere. The things you have to remember, this isn't Gen Con, right? So it's not a 50,000-person event.
That's true.
They're learning, they're growing, and their organizational team's not the same size, right? So.
You were also mostly focused on the miniature side, but there's a whole other side of it.
Yeah, because
that's
more... Yeah, because the whole Steambuck side, right, where they do all the... The wine tasting, the scotch tasting,
the transparent dresses.
Yeah, the
the charity.
Yeah. So, during our we'll tell the story because you mentioned it. So, during Drop Zone Commander tournament, this woman comes by.
Oh well, I just hear you saying something weird on the side of it.
Yeah, you're gonna make me feel like a dirty old pervert.
Dirty old man. So basically, this woman was selling raffle tickets for a food bank raffle, charity raffle. So I buy a bunch of tickets, and I only have a 50. I'm like, do you have change? She's like, oh, I got change for 50. She reaches into her corset and pulls out this wad of cash. Gives me change. I'm like, great. And then she's about to put the money back in her corset. She's like, oh, do you want to put the change away? And she's rather well endowed. And I'm like, yes, I want to, but I won't because I'd feel like a dirty old man. It's just, like, God bless you for asking. And she's like, well, there's plenty of other young guys here that, are young, dirty young men, and they'll do it. And they have done it. I'm like, that's great, but that's totally not me. Like, I can't, but I appreciate the offer. Good luck on the charity raffle. And a very nice young lady.
You just put a whole pause on our tournament.
Yeah, I just stopped the whole tournament because everyone kind of went, what? What did Paul just say?
What is she doing? Where did that money come from?
Yeah. Who else had touched that money? And yeah. So, anyway, it was an interesting experience, to say the least. And yeah, I think it was a good event. I had a lot of fun. I really need to figure out a way to play more. It's not that I'm shy, but I'm gun shy when it comes to playing against strangers, because I'm not good with the rules. I'm not fast at the game. I don't really want to make their playing experience poor, and I don't want them being frustrated with me to make my gaming experience poor.
Well, that's, I found that whole concept of the con where we saw so many of our regulars here, and even between ourselves, had played more games
with locals
than with the fan there, with some of the other attendees. But it's definitely a learning experience, and obviously you can feel comfortable more with each other. But it's I think the fact that you're exposing yourself to some really awesome players out there and some really great scenarios. Like, I think that was one of the greatest things, experiences that I had was, seeing these really, really awesome scenarios, really well laid out. They had little manuals to them.
Yeah, yeah, and the tables were awesome. The
tables were great. Some of them with LEDs popping out. So, I just found that side was really well done. We didn't participate in any of the super competitive tournaments.
And there's a ton of them, right?
I think that's one thing we should try and do. It's just...
I'll cheer you on.
No, that's not when.
But... Well, just to participate. Like, one cool tournament they had, we saw one of our regulars there, was the seniors.
Seniors. Yeah, so a four-year-old. Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, what a great concept, because...
And that's fine, and it's an awesome concept.
And you saw all the guys, and they're totally, like, you can see they're more mature, they're totally into the game, this is their hobby, and they're having a good time with a more mature audience, and sometimes you need that, sometimes...
And it was interesting to see that. The biggest problem I have with the tournaments is the length. So if you're playing... 5 or 6 rounds, starting at 9 p.m.
Yeah, you're going up until early
morning. You're there till 3 o'clock in the morning, right? That's pretty crazy. I don't know if I could do that. You know, like the team tournament. That team tournament starts early in the morning and goes to like 7 o'clock at night or whatever.
Yeah.
Kudos to people. And what kills me is people play that tournament, and then they take like a little break, and then they go back for the other tournament, like the late-night tournament or whatever. It's insane. I love that people do it, don't get me wrong, I think it's amazing. But I know I don't have that in me. Have you ever done the late night tournament? I know Yom does it.
Yom did it once, I think. I only did the days.
Yeah.
So a team tournament and another one day tournament.
Yeah, because I know the first year with Tumacon, Yom did the midnight tournament or whatever it was. And then played right through the next morning. It's insane. But I guess once a year, right? You gotta get away from the family, you gotta get all the gaming you can.
Yeah, I'm sad. I missed this year, so I look forward to next year.
Well, they were looking for you. Ross Thompson asked if you were there. Clark looked for you.
You mentioned the Iron Arena playing against locals. That's one thing I don't do. I only play... each year, I maybe play one game against someone I knew, but I met people over the years. I've been there 5 times, I think. And I started playing against people I knew from the previous years. And I'm looking forward to playing against them, playing against people. I had fun remembering their name and playing years after years with new friends.
Yeah, no, it's a great way to meet other people with similar interests. And I totally need to break out my shell. I think if they had other games, I find War Machine and Horde super intimidating to play. Because unless you're mastering the meta, there's just so much synergy, so much super combo craziness. Like, I don't want to know it, and I don't want to have to deal with it, so I...
Well, it is definitely one of the big focuses of the con, but there were a lot of other games going on, so the board game rooms were full. They were packed.
Yeah, and there's also role-playing sessions and stuff. Yeah. You know, like, I would totally play Drop Zone Commander against a stranger, because it's the type of game where it's...
There's a big Dark Age turnout for the...
For 40 players party.
Yeah.
Well, the Dark Age was this thing where if you bought the army there... And you played in the tournament. You just had to assemble it, no painting required. And you had to buy X number of points worth of models. You could play in the tournament for free, and the grand prize, I think, was a $200 voucher towards airfare to Gen Con.
Yeah.
So it was cool. They did something, right?
There was a big Flames of War turnout.
Oh, yeah. Some gorgeous tables, Flames of War, too.
And
I think there's a fair number from Infinity. Relic Knights had a lot of people, too, like 20 people sign up.
So lots of miniature stuff. Obviously, War Machine Hordes is the big focus, but I mean, half of the big ballroom was full of 40K players.
Yeah, that was on Saturday. Saturday. Yeah, I don't know if they had any fantasy turnout or what it was. I don't know. They struggled a couple years ago with it. I know they still had it. I just don't know what happened. I know John Chastain, who's one of our... Was it John Chastain that was down there? Yeah. I think Steve told me that John Chastain was down there playing in the fantasy tournament.
Yes.
I don't know how many people show for that. I know their 40K does fairly well. They have their food drive tournaments as well, or that we did that one year with the buying rerolls and craziness.
Yeah. And I did that with Steve the year before.
So you did for fantasy with Steve and 40K with me, yeah.
And the steampunk theme, I really enjoyed it. Like, so
yeah, I love the people watching, watching the costumes and stuff. The
cosplay.
Even the ones where the women are fully dressed.
Yeah. the vendors, there's all the nice little trinkets, all the...
Did you go see the Clapboard Bazaar?
No.
That's a nice concept.
Yeah, I gave that.
Yeah, you went?
So I went the last day, walked through the vendor room, I picked up a bunch of... One of the guys was there and he was selling... kind of like the Broken Egg stuff, like the laser cut acrylic. But he was local and he had a laser cutter at home, so he was making new batches of stuff every day, depending on what people wanted. So I picked up some objective markers with little flags. I picked up one of the universal measuring tools with the 6 inches on one side, 4 inches, 1/2 inch, 2 inch, whatever. And I picked up a laser etched My Little Pony shot glass for my wife, because she has a shot glass collection and she loves My Little Pony. So I scored some bonus points there.
Yeah, I got some of the steampunk little. Stuff for my boys, little flasks and stuff, and they totally love that kind of stuff.
Awesome. So now they have someone to sneak the booze to school. The look I'm getting now is not very good, so we're going to move right along. So anything else you'd like to add about TumbleCon?
Awesome experience. Yeah, I'd do it any day.
Road trip was good too.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. And, good big company, guys. Thanks for coming along with me.
Setting us up for that. Pauline kind of
and the puts led in, the puts, way. Yeah. Puts in was good. All right. Well, I guess on that note, we'll take a little pause and we'll come back and wrap up the show. So we'll be right back. And we're back. All right, so I think that pretty much wraps up the show. I'm just going to do a couple little shout-outs here. First and foremost, I'd like to give a shout-out to our friends and arch-rivals over at OnePlus Armor and congratulate them on the successful running of their Swords and Magic tournament. From everything I've heard, it was an amazing event. And our buddy B. Steve was over there, so we're actually going to release this week kind of like a tournament road trip. He was in the car with John Chastain, and they did some interviews there. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Chris from Can-Am conducts one of the interviews, so that's pretty cool. So Andrew, everyone else over there,
and
congratulations.
And Nick.
So congratulations, and maybe we'll make it there for the next one. Who knows?
Yeah. They already announced a second one coming. We don't have the details or dates. We'll share them when we have them.
If they pay us enough.
As if they would, I guess.
Yeah, I can try.
Anything else. That's
fine. Yeah, pay us in spite and hatred.
Yeah.
All right. You, Antoine, any shout-outs?
Yeah, last show I mentioned I started to do commission work and add a temporary site. So my blog, instead of just doing a promotion site, I started a blog instead. You can find it at zonion.net, zonion.net. I'm doing generic miniature stuff, and I'm doing some other outside of the miniature hobby article that are coming. On the site, I also have a specific page for my commission form. So you'll see more about that coming soon. I have my first real commission starting right now. I got the miniature yesterday, so.
It's always good to start with something simple.
Yeah. I started something simple. I have a display piece to paint of Lilith Tree, the new Lilith on her sled.
Dashing through the snow, with a one horse open sleigh.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good challenge to see if I can.
Well, paint. I'm sure it'll be gorgeous when it's done. But yeah. I can't think of a model I'd want to paint least from like, or paint less, I should say, from Privateer Press. Like, it's a gorgeous model, but I wouldn't want to go anywhere near it. Yeah, well, that's an ugly model, but it's an easy model to paint. It's just a hideous-looking model.
Yes.
This is a gorgeous model, but...
Yeah, but try to do a good job with the old Garak.
Wow.
Try. I think it's worse than...
Can't polish a turd, is the expression. Yeah. All right, but this show looks good.
Yeah.
He never got quite finished, but he looks pretty good.
So, that's about it. If you want to see more information, go there. I put a showcase of Baron Celsius from Faraday, like I mentioned in the... hobby segment. I also did a small Kickstarter unboxing from the stuff from
On the Land
for the second Endless Fantasy Tactics Kickstarter.
So nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, I want to thank our guests for coming on board.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
The team over at
Gamers Golf. Very much enjoyed.
You're always welcome here.
And just a quick bonus here for any listeners. If you can mention the name of Antoine's new blog, you can get 10 XPs at Gamers Vault.
Oh, nice. And what do the 10 XPs do today?
Give you a 10% discount on any.
Nice.
Or if you're a member, even more perks.
Awesome. Well, that's really cool. Thanks a lot, Dan. And yeah, don't forget, guys, mention zonion.net and get your 10 XPs. And with that, we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Read our blog at geeksofthenorth.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth. Or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, on Twitter at PRFilio and Antoine at Eltonio Berg. See you in 2 weeks, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Two Bald Geeks, a podcast by two bald horror movie fans that dissect one horror movie a month, saving the spoilers for last. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.